Mr. Mann, go ahead and tell us how we can get your book. Is it sale at Amazon or Books a Million or Barnes & Noble? What do you think?
Okay, yes. The name of the book is Okay, God, Now What? That's two letters, Okay, God, Now What? The website is okgodnowwhat.com. And the book is available in both print and digital and audio forms at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble's, any place that you can get a book. If they don't have it on hand, they can order it for you. They can get it at a Christian bookstore. People are starting to carry it in their business sections because of the way that I've broken up the content in the affirmations in particular. One has to do with your personal self-identity in the Lord and how to relate to God. And the other part has to do how to apply that to every aspect of your life. I just read the other day in Inc. magazine, as a matter of fact, that the author there said the absolute best business book of all time is the book of Proverbs in the Bible. And so we've taken all of these together, put them into affirmations so that you can start a program on how to renew your mind steadily with constant repetition and work to change what's written in your heart to more powerful things that God has given to us in the Scriptures.
Well, one of my favorite things in Proverbs, in Proverbs 31, it tells what God thinks of an ideal woman. So, man, Proverbs 31 is full of wealthy information, I'm telling you.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorites. The Proverbs are absolutely all great. One of the things that most of us in our Western culture don't understand is that, at least most of the people I've met anyway, maybe some of your listeners already know this, but it's the repetition of something that writes it on your heart. So that's one of the reasons why, for me personally, I don't know if I was doing it wrong or whatever, but I would do daily devotions, for example, and I would have a wonderful experience with God while I was doing the daily devotion, and then I could get up, and in 30 seconds or less, forgotten everything I just spent time meditating on. And it was hard to see how it could relate to me. So then what I would do is I would take it and then write down, say, the scripture verse or a message from what was there and try to keep aware of it during the day. And that would be useful. Then I went to the next devotion the next day. Well, here's what happens. In order to write something on your heart, you have to repeat it for a long period of time.
The other type of person is the one that likes...
Okay, sorry, I had the wrong part on. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So you have to write it on... It takes long repetition to write it on your heart, which is what songs are so great for. And so the process that they understood back in the times of the Bible was constant repetition of the same material, writes it on your heart, and then it becomes an automatic response of how you react. And of course, songs are great to do that because they generally have, you know, positive words in a lot of them. Christian songs are great like that. And but there's two different ways that the mind works, and this is the part that most of us don't understand. The education system is built upon almost entirely on the cognitive mind learning. You know, you study material 6 weeks, 3 months in a school program, and you then take an exam at the end of the period of time, and if you pass the exam, you can then graduate, go to the next course. Now, the problem is that, remember, it takes 90 days minimum of constant repetition, daily constant repetition, to write something on your heart. So if your school program is 5 days a week, and you're leaving out the weekends, you're not doing 90 days straight. You're doing less than 90 days. So what you're trying to get, the material that you're studying, isn't getting written on your heart, number one. Number two, you're learning new material every day in the coursework. So that isn't getting written in your heart either. So what happens is your cognitive mind, the part that you're listening to with right now, stores information for 3 to 5 days, and very small parts of it gets written into your heart, generally the material that's close to what you already know. So when you go through your education program, what you retain is not all the material you learned throughout that entire, let's say, three-month education program. What you remember is what was repeated constantly during that period of time. My background is a scientist in engineering, and I discovered that while I had a wealth of facts when I graduated, what I really retained was those concepts and principles that were taught course after course, again and again. That's the only thing I really retained. The other material, while I passed the exams, it was lost. I went through college cramming for courses. The way I would do it is, I wouldn't recommend this for everybody, but it's what I did. I would study the material, and you know, follow my homework, whatever I needed to do with it. Then we got time for the exam. I would then start cramming program. I'd go back and read the whole book again, redo, write all my notes again. You know, I would stay up all night long doing this because I got very good at it. Matter of fact, I got on the dean's list doing this. And I would take the exam. I would pass it, get an A on it. And then 3 or 5 days later, you ask me a question about it. I go, I don't know. I'd lost it all because it was all cognitive mind learning. And I hadn't stayed with it long enough to write it on my heart.
That begs the question then. When the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they got over to the Red Sea. Behind them was the Pharaoh's armies, mountains around them. They had no place to go. And the first thing Moses asked was, what shall we do? And God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So after they stood still a little while, everybody sort of calmed down and got focused and realized that God was in charge. And then God turned around and said to Moses, what are you doing standing here? Go across the sea, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there was another one called Jehoshaphat. He had severely outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know what to do. So the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is my battle, so to speak. And so at some point in time, I noticed in Isaiah, it says, woe to them that join house to house and field to field, and they don't have time to meditate with the Lord. So what time does that meditation start? I mean, when you got to throw out all the garbage of what you have and just...
Okay. This really has two answers. If you want to do it right, the biblical pattern in the Bible talks about our praise the Lord 7 times a day. So you make a habit of praising the Lord 7 times a day. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 119, I think it's verse 62, says, I'll rise at midnight and meditate and praise the Lord. So the remember the story of Paul and Silas when they were beaten up in prison, they were singing psalms or singing and praising the Lord at midnight?
Yes.
They were obeying that scripture in Psalm 119. That's what a good Jew did back in that day. So they had developed habits where all day long, every day, they were putting the Word of God into their hearts. And mostly the same scriptures. Eventually you got to repeat the scriptures when you read them. And so the best thing to do is first thing in the morning, start your mind right away with the Lord. That's most people that do the affirmations, start the affirmations first thing in the morning. Included in there are prayers for a variety of things. Then go through, take time during the day at various times during the day. And again, take 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you have time. And if you make this a habit, you can do this all throughout the day very easily, and it's not a major disruption of your lifestyle. And that way you write it on your heart, which means that you'll have automatic responses built over time. The other way to do it is exactly like I described to you with cramming. You have a problem comes up. Now, see, the difference is that Moses was about the only one in that crowd who wasn't all in fear and terror over Pharaoh. He was the one who knew God because he had been learning to walk with God for all that period of time. It was definitely more than 90 days that he'd been learning to walk with the Lord and learn him and know him, so that when one of the characteristics of Moses was the minute something went wrong, he turned to the Lord first. You know, some people say, things are so bad, we got to pray. Well, my response to that is, whatever's going on, pray first and then go from there. And so, but you can cram. You can take, when you have a problem, when you have a situation, whatever your situation is, God's got scriptures in the Bible concerning your situation. Go look them up, study them, put them together on a list, and start meditating on those scriptures. Say them, change them into affirmations, and do a cognitive mind learning process, and you'll start to fill your mind and saturate that. So when you pray the prayer, it'll have a lot more faith in it than if you hadn't done that at all.
Sometimes people get sick and they look around for various doctors or what have you. But I noticed in the Bible there was a king in Judah, I think it was Asa, was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good guy, really. He was very loyal to the Lord, and etc. But he got to be, I think, his 39 years of reign. Then all of a sudden he got a problem, probably gout in his feet or something. But rather than going and rehearsing that with the Lord and what he should do, he goes over to the pagan doctors to try to get treatment. Well, it sort of offends God, and in his 40th year, he dies. So the question is, you're saying that we should go to God first.
Mm-hmm.
rather than the pagan physicians, right?
Absolutely. There's sort of a mixed story, I think, on healing. We've seen God do a lot of miracles in response to prayer. Just recently, saw him remove goiters, saw people who couldn't hear. Their hearing was restored, backs restored. People have been laying in bed for a year, were up and walking. That kind of thing, praying the prayer of faith for them. But if you haven't, it depends what you've been looking at. So if you've been looking at all the latest modern medicines and thinking about that, worrying about your medical care benefits, and you're thinking all the time about that, you're focusing all your thinking on the world answers to problems. And now the good news is that the general attitude of modern medicine is, if you're sick, we'll find a way to fix it. That's a good attitude. Okay, and that's to be applauded, and I think God has given a lot of wisdom to doctors, mainly because we haven't learned how to renew our minds more effectively. You know, this may sound dramatic to a lot of people, but Jesus said, heal the city that are in the sick where you are. Now, if we Christians were doing that, you wouldn't have nearly the number of hospitals and medical programs that we do now, because we would be the ones healing the sick through the power of the name of Jesus. But how do you get there? How do you build faith? That's really what my book is about. How do you build faith in God? And the now God is in every aspect of life. He invented money, he invented business, and he invented divine healing. So the way that you do it is to take, again, I have in the book, I have a whole process laid out. I've got lots of affirmations on how to do this. I have a list of top 10 affirmations that people can call at 1-800-903-6625. That's 1-800-903-6625 to get the list of top 10 affirmations. And the 10th caller will get a free copy of my book, Okay, God, Now What? So you can, if you develop the habit, you will do the habit. If you haven't developed the habit, you don't do the habit. So if you want to find out how you really are, just look at how you respond to whatever's happened to you in the last week or so or day or so, and look how you responded to it. It'll tell you what is your true habits of how you developed what you're doing right now.
I need to ask you your input on first that sometimes puzzling to me. It says, be not slothful in business. What does that mean to you?
That means full court, all out. One of the things we need to understand is, and I haven't heard much teaching on this. I've studied on it, and I think I have a little light on it. I won't say I have the final thing on it. But in the Old and the New Testament, God is a 24/7 God. Right? He's not just God on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
That's right.
He's not God at Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. He's not God just at your morning prayer time at 6 a.m. He's God 24/7, and he's involved in every part of life. So that every part of life has a way for it to be, the word that I use is breathed. Every action of your life can be God breathed. And that's business, that's cooking dinner, that's raising your children, that's cleaning your house, that's making business deals. All of that can be with the breath of God. So the process of how you get to be that way basically is again, you keep training yourself how you're going to respond to the various actions around you with the affirmations, which is why I've given the list of top 10 to get people started on this.
My father said the two main verses you need to learn and develop and embrace and walk at, etc., do it. And that's be obedient and dependent. How do you think that ranks in your thinking?
Well, I tell you what. Here's the way it works for me. I think I have the numbers correct. I may not be sure. There are 613 commands in the Old Testament. That's called the law.
Okay.
There are 1,050 commands in the New Testament that are all in the Greek imperative. They're not suggestions. They're commands. One of them is, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Another one says, pray without ceasing. So you're talking about the scripture about be not slothful in business. Well, my business is to bring God into every part of life 24/7. That's my business. You may have a different business, but that's my business. And because my purpose in life is to bring heaven to earth 24/7 to the best of my ability. So that when I read those commands of rejoice in the Lord always, or give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that when you say obey, my first attitude is I would go get those lists of 1,050 commands in the New Testament and see how I can start obeying them more often. And I'm dependent upon, I do my part. In other words, I can speak, I can think, I can even do good works. But what I can't do is do God things. When I lay hands on the sick and they recover, I did my part. I lay hands on the sick in faith and they recover. But it's God by Holy Spirit is the one who makes them well.
Well, I have five things that I really do on a daily basis. Number one is I mortify my own will. In other words, I make my will subservient or second or 500th to the Lord's will. And then number two is I reckon myself dead. And the reason I do that, I think it's Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure."
Yes.
And number three, then I say, walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, because you're reckoned dead, etc. And then number four is delight in the will of God. In other words, delight that you're in that particular situation. Mm-hmm. You're just going through the third. And then number five is, in everything give thanks. I think if I can do that, I can start the day right. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what I agree with. As a matter of fact, the scripture that you quoted was part of there was Romans 6:11. It says, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Most of us have been taught to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Remember, the more you look at something, the more you become at it. So if you spend your time looking for sin, guess what you're going to do more often?
More sin.
More sin. If you reckon yourself alive to God in Christ Jesus, and you start confessing, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. God's inside of me. God is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. As that becomes more of what you're looking at, you become more like what you're looking at. So again, the affirmations are a programmed process of how you control how you think. Again, that's why I have given the list of the top 10 that I've come up with that are available free for people. They're at my phone number, 1-800-903-6625, and I'll be glad to send them a copy of the affirmations, and the 10th caller or person that contacts me will get a free copy of my book, Okay, God, Now What? So what you've done in your list is what I would call a general plan. In other words, you've got some general statements, kind of like the Proverbs that are general, and then you've got to apply them in specific activities. What we've done with the affirmations is make them focus down a little bit more to where it's more specific in what you do and how you do it. And it's all based on Scripture. I think the affirmations are something like 90, 99% Scripture. Just all of, some of them are modified to be affirmations as opposed to the statements of fact or theology with this, but they apply directly to yourself. You know, one of the great ones is, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a very powerful, positive affirmation to then learn to apply in situations, which to me right away means I've got help. I've got wisdom from God. I've got power from God, no matter what happens.
There's a verse I want you to address a little bit. It said, we are now under the law, not under the law, but under grace.
Mm-hmm.
So many people judge others, basically they'd be acceptable or rejected based on what they do. All of us, from my perspective, is we are subject to the roaring of the lion, which is Satan himself, and he goes around and devours them. Some people want to kick the victim.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to support the victim because we live under grace, not under law. I mean, our destiny eternally is not determined on what we do, but what we have taken advantage of, a free gift. And, you know, we believe in him. So I want you to address law and grace. We got about 9 minutes left. So let's, what do you think that impacts on affirmation?
Okay. First of all, what I can tell you is I have addressed that in the affirmations themselves. With that, you hear many people say we're not to judge, and Jesus did say that. But you got to look at it in the context of what he was saying. What he was saying was, do not judge people away from you. So, what the scripture says is that do not judge people separate from you. Don't call someone not your brother. But we are sent into the, when God created man, he said to Adam, he said, go out, establish dominion, and subdue, and make heaven on earth. That's essentially, that's how I would say it the short way.
Okay.
Okay. So we're to look at what's wrong, and fix it, and make it right. So that when you see someone that's got a problem, whatever it is, what I tell people is, the minute you see a fault in somebody, you've just gotten a prayer request from God to get them healed, whatever it happens to be. That's the kind of love Jesus was talking about. That's why he said when he saw the Good Samaritan, he says, they found a guy, the religious guy walked, God, I'm not touching that guy, he's unclean, he's not a Jew. You know, this other one said, I've got an important project to go to, I can't go do this. Jesus said, the Good Samaritan stopped because the guy was in trouble. And then he helped him, so that we're to use, whenever we see anything wrong, my prayer list is rather long. One of the reasons is because when I find something that's gone wrong with somebody, or somebody got a problem, or I hear about a situation or an issue, I got a lot of politicians on my prayer list. And so that what I do is take that as a prayer request from God and start praying for them on a regular basis, looking for the love of God to move in their lives, the power of God to move in their lives, for them to see the Lord more, to see more power of God in their lives, to love the Lord more. Not separate them and say they're not part of me. So that that's part of, to me, what the message Jesus was talking about is that you're to love one another, and that love means, if nothing else, I can pray for you.
Let me ask you another question, quickly running out of time. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And to me, I divide the world into folks who are pagan pretty much. They just simply power. They're going to crush anybody that doesn't agree with them. Then there are other people who says, well, I will sacrifice principle as long as I can take peace. So that enables the people who are looking for power and stuff. But God said we have a sound mind and where we can get a balance between the two, because love has dominion. It will win out in the end because it's truth. But right now, how do we go about keeping that balance between love and power?
Well, I think, first of all, that God says he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? So you have to communicate with God. Rather than having rules that you follow exactly. Now, mind you, there's a lot of rules in the Bible, and there are automatic responses to a lot of things that are good. You know, first one is to hate the sin and love the sinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so with the affirmations, you can build in your mind these automatic responses, and part of which is, no matter what happens, I turn to the Lord first. That's one of the affirmations that are in there. So that we build that habit pattern, that automatic response, into our heart so that we respond properly. And so that our source becomes, wait a minute, I know God. I've got answers from God. The Lord is my shepherd. Right? He's going to lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so, and I also know that many of the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them out of them all. So that my job is to make the earth a better place. That's what God told Adam to do. Jesus came and showed dramatically. When he healed somebody, he didn't say, I can't heal you until you learn the lesson.
Don, it seems to me that Peter focused on the fact that he said that we are pilgrims and strangers here, that we don't have a continuing city here, that heaven is our home, and we're just passing through. We should obey the laws and pay the taxes and pray for the leaders and et cetera, because they're God-ordained. But we should focus on the things above, not on things of the earth. Could you address that for a little bit? What do you think?
Okay, I agree exactly. Obviously, I agree exactly with that. And what that means to me is that the world system, like you talked about power and cruelty and those things, those aren't me. I'm born again. My new nature is just like Jesus, and I'm a lover. I'm a professional lover. I deliver the love of God wherever it is. And so that, as it says in Hebrews, we have a city. We're citizens of a heavenly city. And that heavenly city is coming to earth one day. And right now, my job is to bring as much of heaven to earth as I can in the life I'm living right now. And that means that I'm going to deliver the supernatural love, power, grace, and wisdom of God, wherever I am, what am I doing? Again, that's when I was back in that business situation with turning around a division, was that I didn't know the answers. What we were working on was very, very important, and I created an environment around them. Because, see, the two ways that you train your mind is really two different ways. One is people do it for you. In other words, by your environment, what's around you, you're getting things written on your heart all the time. That's where the scripture talks about in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world. The world is writing things, trying to write things in your heart all the time. The other is, you decide you're going to be in control of your life. You're going to choose life and not death. And you are going to put yourself into a continued program of renewing your mind with right positive words of God, so that you now have automatic responses built into you to how you respond to those things. So that's the difference. Again, that's why I made the affirmations available, the top 10, to get people started in this. They're available at 1-800-903-6625. That's 1-800-903-6625. The 10th person that contacts me, I'll give them a copy of my book, Okay, God, Now What? So they'll have an organized program how to do this. Because, you know, you've asked some great questions, and I agree with you. I mean, you're quoting Scripture. I mean, it's awesome. And those are the things, how we learn to live in those things. So we're to be in the world, but not part of the world. So the way that you do that is to obey the command to renew your mind. And in the process, it'll build your faith.
Well, when I was about 5 years old, I was introduced to, I think it's Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is a gift of God." Now, sometimes there are basically two ways. Most of the religions I know of is just their effort to try to get to heaven. But God has done it through a free gift. Do you think the free gift is the method to get to heaven?
Absolutely. You're saved by grace because of the work of Jesus Christ. Our job, it says right there, if you believe in your heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead, you're made the righteous of God, and with your mouth confession, Jesus is Lord, you have salvation.
Wow, boy, you're fundamental, huh? You're right down to the heart of it, right?
Absolutely. It's, you know, in my business life, is what I do. I may not talk about a lot of this. I obviously get lots of opportunities with people. My attitude is support and prayer. But I use the wisdom God gives in the situations for things. That's why I'm known as a turnaround person. What's unique about what I do is, in that business, is most of the time I save the people, turn them around, rather than have to fire them, which is a wonderful thing to me.
That is true. That's a big help.
And so that's, again, that's part of what I wrote was in Okay, God, Now What? Was, what are the fundamental attitudes as a Christian you're to have, and how do you write them on your heart? And that's the difference. So like I was talking about devotions, the devotions are wonderful and they should be part of your life. But the other part is that I would forget what the devotion was from day to day, and it was only cognitive mind learning, which means it's gone in 3 to 5 days. So you have to build a program of continual establishing and reestablishing the foundation of God's truth, which is why the affirmations I've written are almost 95% scripture, so that you know the source of where the ideas come from.
Our time has run out, Don, but I thank you very much, and we really appreciate you being with us, okay?
Okay, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. I've enjoyed the conversation. Have a great day.
AM 1150 WGEO, Geneva, Alabama.